The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Paranorm Girl Podcast. I am your host, Kristen. Today we pick up right where we left off last week before going into depth with Sister Kia about some of the entities encountered while she lived in a demon house and how those who investigate the paranormal might be consenting to attachments by negative entities and what Father Plato recommends to those asking him for help in order to remove them. Please enjoy the second part of our conversation.
You know, that's an important point that you bring up. Doing the work that you do, it can be very dangerous. And these energies can be, you know, looking for their escape route, you know, real quick. Who am I going to go with?
Plato had a dog get thrown down the stairs before a big German shepherd.
Because it didn't even touch the floor.
The demon was hiding and the dog ratted it out. So the demon picked it up and threw it down the stairs. And the poor dog, like, peed itself and was like, you know, whimpering. And
I mean, the poor baby.
Dog didn't die or anything like that, but I mean, they do go after animals. And when I was living in an infested house, I had cats and they would howl this just horrible howl.
Yeah.
And nothing like you'd ever heard them do before. And they'd be looking at something and just you know, like constantly.
Yeah. They're so sensitive to those kinds
so
of
sensitive.
Energies.
Like, yeah. I would say that cats are half in this world and half out of this world, that they kind of can cross, they can cross between the two.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, my cats, they did get attacked and I was livid. And I made the mistake of saying, like, leave my cats alone. Like, don't touch them, you know, they're off limits or whatever. So whatever it was, basically grab my insides, like my weak point is my stomach, and they know that. And it was like I doubled over, it was so bad, but it left the cats alone after that, you know.
Have either of you ever brought anything home with you? Has it ever affected your family?
It's like going to a party, you always go home with a loot bag. It's like, you always welcome to the party. Here's
really
your loot bag.
With like one of those horns that doesn't whistle and those like, those peanut butter kisses and stuff.
So,
like, there's nothing good in the bag.
Leftovers, you know. No, but you know, we do a lot of protection before we go, but we also have to do a lot of protection when we get home. And we do a lot of salt baths, which is what I've done. I kind of made this up. Where, you know, run a regular bath and add exorcism salt, holy oil, holy water, and if you lie in it and sort of submerge yourself in the tub 15-20 minutes, the water will actually turn dark gray or black, and that the attachments come right off you, and then just shower. So we encourage a lot of people to do these salt baths, and it seems to work. But anything that you feel comfortable doing will help. But you should always cleanse yourself, because you know it's not a clean job. I mean, people think, I'm a demonologist, I'm an exorcist, you know, I'm this and that. They think it's glamorous. The titles are fantastic. They look great on paper. Yeah, but you know, it's not really a glamorous job. You know, I mean, you're knocking on. You know, we're not gonna, like, you know, we have to remember, like, you know, the free will, the universal law, the free will is, you can't do nothing unless you have consent. So God will not interfere. Angels will not interfere unless you ask them. Likewise, the demonic and anything else has to also get consent. It's under, they're under the same rule, same law. So people let them in. We conjure them in. We do things. We get involved in stuff. You know, whatever we're doing, whatever we're involved in.
Familial curses can be part of it too. Right. Not everybody invites stuff in, but there can be familiar curses that something's been following the family line down for generations.
Intergenerational bondage, linkage. Like, so there's all kinds of things, and people don't realize that. And all of a sudden, you know, you've given them consent. So all these paranormal teams, you think, oh, I want to go investigate. They don't realize that each and every one of them, and there's many. I mean, there's some city, almost every city in the world has at least one, if not two. They're going into a realm, and they're actually knocking on that spirit, that second heaven, right? At that next realm. And by doing that, they're given consent. And you know, when you're knocking on the door, you don't know who's going to answer. You don't know who you're going to bring home with you. You don't know what you're doing. Or I see these paranormal teams on TV, you know, touch me here. Oh, go ahead. Touch me again. I want to know you're here.
Yeah. The whole come at me, bro. Let's do this. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's consent. That's consent. Right. Sorry, but you're asking for it. You know? And so, and then they call me up and say, oh, I come home. I have an attachment. Why? What did you do? Well, you know, like, so again, you know, if you're going to, you know, if you're going to go and do those sorts of things, you need to protect yourself and know exactly what you get yourself into, and understand there's consequences.
Sister Kia, you mentioned something I wanted to ask you about. What did you mean about a demon house that you lived in?
Well, one of my homes was, now this is before I was involved with the paranormal, yeah, I was practicing automatic writing, which is a form of divination. I did it safely, like there was always like a routine to it and, you know, prayers and such. But there was, I think, an incubus, to be honest with you, in the house. The writing that came through when it was that particular entity, like I could tell by the feel of the pen when it started to use my arm. You know, like the force that was used, and it always said like really misogynistic and really horrible things to say to a woman. And I was primarily getting attacked in my bedroom, like frequently. And I've been scratched. I woke up more than once with one foot on the ground and like my butt cheek on the mattress, like almost on the floor kind of thing. And I had finger bruises all over my legs and my thighs. And that happened more than once. And I've been engulfed by it. And it felt like it slithered up my whole body and it stopped at my neck. And it felt like it was about 2 feet thick. And like it felt like it had mass. And the person put an EMF detector on me and it went to solid red and it stayed there. It didn't, you know, it didn't go down until I was like, get off me, you know, you have no right to do this, like kind of until I gave it crap, basically. And that happened a couple of times. But I mean, I have had pictures fly off the walls, the animals being affected, the animal's water dish, you know, that holds a liter and a half of fluid knocked over when it was full. Like no cat can do that. Like, sorry. No, they don't have thumbs. Screens popping out of the window and shooting in and almost hitting the animals. Poltergeist activity, disembodied voices, shadow figures, footsteps, cupboards opening and closing. And they were interfering with me. Like they would come through my sleep. And I always, like a lot of people with gifts, will say they have like psychic brain drain after an investigation. And I used to wake up like that every day. Like the energy was just so drained out of me that I would just have a pounding headache because I know it was messing with me at night kind of thing. And people are like, did you ever set up a camera? And I was like, hell to the no. I did not want to see what was going on when I was asleep. You know, I had no desire to see what was happening. And it was kind of like, you shouldn't, but I did. I kind of made a deal with it that you leave my kid alone, because it was scaring my son. He was quite a bit younger then, but he had a shadow figure in the corner of his room, and it was all crouched down and like, kind of like, you know how Spider-Man crouches down before he jumps up. Mm-hmm. That's what it was. And my son's never had nightmares. He's never sleepwalked. He's never been one to have, you know, be worried about monsters under the bed. You know, he's not that kind of kid. And he said, and he had a light outside of his window, a street light. So he had light coming into the room. He could definitely see it. And he said, oh, I was going to turn my iPhone light on and see. But then I remembered that you said that don't give them any power and don't be scared, because it's like giving them a cupcake and they're going to come back for more. And so he just rolled over and went like back to sleep, which I thought, I was like, wow, you're a brave little guy, because most adults would be like, bye-bye, going to the nearest Holiday Inn, you know, and his bedroom window was broken from the inside. I used to get knocking on the second story windows on the outside, scratching in the walls. Like, it sounded like Freddy Krueger nails going up and down the metal in the walls. And I didn't have rats or anything like that. Big masses of black that would blot out the light from my bathroom to my bedroom. Apportation. I would take playing cards every day. I was working on my psychometry skills. So I would take them and I'd be like, okay, red, black, red, red, black, black, you know, go through the deck of cards a few times in the morning and at night. And one morning when I woke up, because I did it in bed, almost all my cards were gone, and I searched everywhere in my bedroom. They were not there at all. And it turned out I found them probably 3 months later, and they were downstairs in the family room, shoved under a cushion on the chair. And like that my son didn't take them. Like, I mean, he was just, when this happened, and he had a, you know, the fidget spinners that the kids all used to have.
Yep.
You know, I bought him a new one, and I said, it's on your dresser. And he said, no, it's not on my dresser. I said, well, go look again. I know I put it right on the corner of your dresser. And when he walked in his room, it was on his floor mat right in the center of it. And it hadn't been there when he came down to see me, and it had been placed there. So it was just crazy, the amount of energy. And even a baseline EMF with everything shut off would be like a +2 in my bedroom. So my bed was like super ornate at the time, and I had 10-foot ceilings upstairs, and the bed probably goes up, I don't know, Plato did the blessing. Plato, how tall would you say that bed is? Probably like 7 feet, eh?
Yeah. It's
the headboard, and then the footboard, and then it had stone on the posts. So it was heavy, a ton. And that bed shook with me on it for more than 2 minutes. I timed it. And then I looked up to see if there had been any seismic activity in the area that might have caused the bed's vibrations, and there had been no seismic activity noted for like 4 months previous. So nothing else was moving. And it got mad one time, and it flung the remote control from one end of my dresser off of it, and it hit the wall and broke apart. Just like really a lot of energy. It had a lot of energy. It was very dark. It was very strong. And, I basically would, to me, it's like a bully. Do you know what I'm saying? And mm-hmm. I don't like to be bullied. Like when I was a kid, I got picked on mercilessly, and it was the same kind of feeling. And I'm just like, you jerk face, like, you're not going to push my kid around, and you're not going to push me around, and you think you're so scary. And, you know, then I would sage the whole house. Like I would just like hot box it. Like you couldn't even see in my bedroom. It was just like, I'd take the smoke detector down. And the salt that was everywhere in my house. I had hardwood floor, so you could see there was always salt everywhere.
Well, that is an incredibly active home. How yes. long did you have to deal with that?
A couple of years.
Wow. What finally ended it?
I told her to sell it.
Oh, that'll end it. Thankfully, it did not follow you beyond.
No,
the,
no,
the
I, no, I went through the house. I blessed it and everything, and you know, okay. And obviously, it was still then. It was time for her to scale down anyway. So, you know, this is it was a big home. It was a beautiful home, but, you know, I mean, I went in the home and said, oh, my goodness, I can feel stuff. So, I said, it was time to leave, you know, and, you know, it was time to leave just not because of that, because she just, you know, there were some things going on in her life and she just needed to scale down and whatnot. So it was, you know, being a single mom, and whatnot, it was time to make those moves. So, So I blessed home and never went back. So, but you know, I was into that. But now she's in her new place. And like I said, she's a crap magnet. I mean, it just I think even the movers said,
oh yeah, when the movers were moving me out of my old house, I was at the new house waiting for them, and the one guy, like, that's what I was still a witch, and I had like fragile crystals, altar, like, so I would know where to put stuff. And he happened to be a witch, and he was like, so he started talking to me. He goes, lady, there's something in that house. He goes, I keep seeing shadow figures. He was working with a gentleman that had very dark skin. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I thought it was so-and-so at first, you know, and then I turn around, it wasn't, it was a shadow figure. And he was listing off places that stuff was happening to him in the house. And I was just like, yep, that'd be that house, you know.
Oh, no.
But I mean, even here, like, I'll get bangs on the wall. I get footsteps. You know, like, my son is an empath. So between the two of us, there's, like, I was told that there's usually at least 15 spirits at any given time.
Yeah.
So the house is pretty well sealed, all things considered, but sometimes stuff gets by and stuff gets in. And then if it's not harmful, I just let them go. And I just say, you know, like, get out of my house. You weren't invited. You're being rude, you know, that kind of thing. And it usually works. And then if it's something nastier, like my son got scratched not that long ago, and I was like, all right, now Mama Bear is like going to take care of business.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, and he knows enough that he can help me do a house blessing now too, right? I don't have to try and juggle the salt and the oil and the prayers, and he goes through the house with me when it happens. So, because anytime, like when we did the blessing at the Warren's Occult Museum, the last time, I came home and one of my salt lamps that is about 10 inches high, it weighs a ton, it was moved to the other end of the island in my kitchen, and it was unplugged and the bulb was black, and it couldn't have slid because there was crap on the counter and all the pictures on the wall were crooked. And my son texted me and he's like, are you home? And I'm like, I'm 8 hours away. And he's like, there's something walking around up on the ceramic tile, I can hear it, and it jiggled my doorknob. And so he just, like, he takes a blessed crucifix with him basically wherever he goes, like, because he he works in the basement a lot, so he's got that. I said, you know, hang your rosary on the doorknob and do this, do that, do the other thing. But so this time when we go to do a blessing at the museum, I'm going to be even more diligent.
We'll be ready
than before. So
yeah, last time we went, we weren't expecting to do a blessing. I was going there for a meeting. But he asked me to do it, so I wasn't really prepared. But we did it anyway. But this time, like, I know that I'm specifically going down prior to the Paracon to do the blessing. Then there's a VIP the next day, and then we're going to be doing a lot of preparatory blessings and preparations this time around.
Yeah, so, and that's the Secrets of the Supernatural convention that you're going to, and you're going to do the blessing beforehand.
Secrets of the Paranormal.
Yeah. Okay, Secrets of the Paranormal. Okay, and then you're going to do the occult museum blessing. Right. Is Annabelle still there?
Oh yeah. And they're going to move her. They're going to move her over to the casino where the event's going to be held, and they've got her under sort of still in the box and whatnot, plus various other demonic objects, the Satan doll and whatnot, and the voodoo doll and a few other things. So we'll probably end up helping to move some of those objects over, and then I'll be there to help bless people and give them whatever they need support.
Okay, and then you guys are attending the Mid Michigan Paracon, is that right?
That's right. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Awesome! Yeah. Awesome.
We'll be speaking at that one too. So,
I got a lot of listeners that go to these paracons, these conventions. Anybody listening, you want to go see Sister Kia and Father Plato? They're going to speak at the Mid Michigan Paracon. That's a big one too, you guys. That's a really big one.
Yeah, well, we're much funnier in person because, like, we literally relentlessly tease each other, and he will show you how he walks into a haunted house, like behind me, pushed over with me going first. We like to have our talk be interesting and informative, but we don't want people to feel like they're watching paint dry too, right? And we're not there to try and convert anyone. We're not like Bible thumping or anything like that. We're just trying to provide some education to people about what they're dealing with on a spiritual level, lot of the time.
I mean, I want people to see that, that there's an openness and acceptance of the gifts that are out there that people have, and we want them to make sure that they actually have those gifts cultivated, and then some people need to just a little bit of tweaking about some like, for example, someone came to me and said, I was taught Reiki and I was told not to ground myself. Well, I'm not a Reiki master by any means, but I know you need to ground yourself. So I told her, I said, no, you need to ground yourself. So sometimes a lot of people have a lot of misinformation, and I just think this is a great opportunity to not just talk about it, but they come over and ask a lot of questions, and then we can link up. And again,
he does a lot of blessings for people. He'll do blessings. He'll say, I'm sick, or can you bless this rosary for me? Can you do this? Can you do that? And he'll do that. And especially if people get weirded out by the artifacts from the occult museum.
Right.
And Father will have a line just about as long as the line to see Annabelle, because people want blessings after they've gone to see it.
They actually do sense. A lot of them don't realize that. I'm gonna go see Annabelle. I think it's great. It's theatrical. It's all dramatized. Until they actually get there and realize they don't really feel very good about what they're seeing and how they're feeling about it. So that some of them come to me and say, Father, should I really be here? I mean, this thing is really evil. I said, you paid the money, you came. What do you want?
I remember that person. They came to our dinner table and they were just like freaking out. They're like, should I leave?
Oh wow!
I said, I'll give you a blessing, and then I went up there and I announced, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, if anybody wants a blessing before they leave, they don't feel comfortable, let me know. And next, my lineup was longer than Annabelle. Annabelle was not happy with me that I stole her thunder. So I'm thinking, oh my god, I could not believe the number of people that actually said, I really don't want to go home, because there's a story behind Annabelle, and that she has caused a lot of damage, and people have died, and there's a lot of history there. So,
and the other artifacts too Tony's going to be bringing. I mean, it's not like your average run of the mill museum. So, people do kind of get weirded out seeing stuff that they've seen in the Conjuring movies, but now it's real. Like the dino, I have a picture of the little dinosaur, and I'm like looking at it. But that was part of, I think, the Conjuring 3.
A lot of people, they think, well, this is great. I can see the objects from the movie, the props and whatnot, and they don't realize that, like, in real person, these are really real objects that were used for demonic purposes or for whatever rituals or whatnot. And then they get a little spooked up by it. They say, well, should I really be here? Well,
the bone doll is pretty terrifying.
Yeah.
It's made of like human teeth and fingers and feathers, and it's all in black, and it's a pretty scary looking thing. Like, I posted a picture, and my girlfriend's a medium. She's like, oh my god, you have to take that picture down. I can't even deal with it. It's just too bad. Stay away from it. And I'm like, no, I'll be winging it with salt.
Yeah, but they were used for satanic purposes or for demonic purposes or for some evil purpose, and so these objects are real, and the notion for Ed and Lorraine Warren was not to destroy the objects, but to keep them encased and locked up so that they can't escape and hurt other people. to kind of keep it in prison. But these things are really, they're real. They're real and they're very dangerous. So when people start realizing that, then they start looking for that, well, how can I protect myself? Then they start looking towards us for those kinds of things. That's why we're there. That's where we're going to be there for that.
And a lot of stuff in the movies, like, it's just dramatized, right? Like they're based on real stories, but the original Annabelle movie, probably 25% of it was factual. And then the rest was like, you know, Hollywood liberties kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, same with the other series of Conjuring movies and stuff like that. So that, you know, Tony was saying like, oh, maybe 10% is real in this movie and, you know, that kind of thing. But they're all definitely based in cases that Ed and Lorraine did over their very long and illustrious careers. I mean, Lorraine was quite an elderly lady and she was still working, you know, almost to the point when, you know, she passed. And that's one of the biggest regrets I have is that, like, we joined Nespar 6 months and 3 days after she passed, you know, and I would have loved to have met her, you know, and just asked her for guidance because she's just so knowledgeable, yeah, you know.
But it's still very nice to be a part of that legacy and to be a part of the new generation of people that, you know, we're going to carry forward. And they were the pioneers, but now we're going to carry forward. I mean, there wasn't a lot of people into the paranormal back then. And now apparently there's so many people out there involved. And I think, you know, we can play an important part in helping people educate and being prepared and again, utilizing the gifts. That I guess I can't stress enough using the gifts, because I mean, we can't be everywhere, and you know, and so there's people out there who have some extraordinary gifts that they can help people as we get through this impasse of evil.
Oh, remember when negative? You left me alone in the hotel, and I did a reading by myself before we went to an exorcism, and then I was like, "Do you guys want to know what I came up with?" And Tony's like, "When did you talk to this person?" I'm like, "I didn't talk to this person." Plato's like, "No, I went out to get pizza. That's what happens."
Come back, and she's already got it all figured out. We haven't even been there yet. We've never seen the house. She's got it all figured out. This, and this. And sure enough, when we went there, that's exactly how she described it is what we saw. It was actually in New Jersey someplace, and so we'd never been there. And I went to get pizza for some reason. Key and I travel, we have problems ordering pizza. I don't know what it is about the pizza, but we can't seem to order pizza and actually get one. So I actually went out. I actually physically went out. I'm going to get one. And I drove, I don't know how many miles, maybe in the next state to get one. But we order pizza. No matter where we are, we seem to have a problem ordering pizza. I don't know what it is about pizza.
The demons want us to starve to death. So I think last time we gave up and got Chinese.
Yeah. Somebody's making you work for it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Well, you know, just my final word on what we were talking about. Yeah, there is a lot of. You know, you got to separate the wheat from the chaff a lot, especially now since this community in the paranormal world is really flooded, like overly so. So there is a lot of fluff, but you know, I'm really proud of like your guys' approach. I love your guys' approach. The fact that you're going out to these conventions, I'm so glad that you're able to continue on, you know, when you had to kind of take a break, going out to these conventions, spreading that good knowledge, like educating people, you know, on their gifts or, you know, things to be cautious of and in your process. So it's great to hear. And it's great to hear that you are growing, you know, adding people to your, to your group. It's just been such an amazing pleasure and privilege to have you both on today. We are near the end of the episode, and I just had a couple of speed round questions to throw at you, and we'll just keep it short. I don't want to take up too much of your time here. These are just some random things that occurred to me, and then we'll close it out. Maybe Sister Kia, we'll start with you, and we'll just go back and forth. I'll only ask you a couple. So first question, what's been the biggest transition or change of heart due to your experiences in the paranormal?
I'm 100% a believer now, whereas I was a skeptic before. But I mean, I'm a skeptical believer. Everything that goes bump in the night is not paranormal. and everything paranormal is not demonic, right? Like I always say that, but it's a very important distinction. But yeah, so.
Okay. All right. Archbishop, what's been your biggest transition based on your experiences here?
I think I'm just scratching the surface on really what's out there. I think in the spiritual world, dimensional work, light workers, I'm just with it when I'm starting to actually, I don't just accept people with gifts. I've actually, I want to know a little bit about it. I don't want to be a master of it. And I'm noticing there's so much out there that I'm realizing that really being an archbishop, taking on the demonic is just a little small, little piece of the spiritual thing that's going on out there. I think there's so much more. And I am just excited about just branching out there and learning it all and just experiencing it. Let people, you know, bring it in and maybe even improve on my craft, like, you know, where I'm able to actually enhance my already existing skills as an archbishop and exorcist into the next dimension, in the next realm, doing energy work, using crystals, pyramids, whatever. I mean, I'm just open to everything now. I think there's something to everything. And I'm just starting to open my mind and starting to really eliminate the seminary work and the education and all the things that I learned. That's really kind of like suppressing me to say, well, it's got to be this way and it's always this and it's that and it's, you know, it's witchcraft. No, I'm checking it all out. You know, I'm like, you know, so that makes me stronger. That makes me more valuable. That makes me more effective. And I could be up there to really help people. You know, if I can learn more about things and bring more people into the fold, that's where I'm at now. I've decided that, you know what, I'm just a little small piece of the puzzle and I want the big piece.
Yeah. Love it. All right. All right. We'll just do one more question. We'll do. Yeah. Okay. This one. Sister, be afraid. Be very afraid of what?
Getting involved in something that you don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, like Plato will say, when you knock on the devil's door, you never know who's going to answer, right? So I think people need to have more reverence for that. They need to have more respect, more fear about what they're doing in terms of like giving up their free will, inviting negative energy to, you know, use my energy, like, you know, take this, use my hand, whatever. You know, people should really fear that. You don't know what you're handing yourself over to when you're doing stuff like that, and you can find yourself in a really bad situation, you know, because not all little haunts are like little friendly Casper ghosts, you know, mm-hmm. or like little mom and paw hauntings. And I think that people have lost sight of that, and they see it on TV and it's become entertainment to a lot of people, and they're missing the big picture and of how dangerous it really is. So, I mean, when you're messing with something that you don't really understand or you're not trained to, then yes, you should be very afraid, because, you know, you don't know what you're going to end up bringing home or attached to you or, you know, whatever. You can find yourself in a really precarious position and be like calling us basically.
Okay. Plato.
Yeah. That's just to add to what she was saying. I'm also, I would agree with that. The only thing is, you know, you're given one soul, you're given one, one essence, your soul, protected with everything, like protected, fight for it, protected. Again, with everything that she just finished saying, don't open yourself up, because you're going to lose that most valuable thing. The most valuable thing that you're given, of all the demonic, all the aliens or whatever you got out there in the whole entire universe, the whole reason why the Satan left or got kicked out of heaven with his one third of the fallen angels is because they got jealous that God gave us a soul. The angels don't have that. The demons don't have that. So that is a gift, because that's a part of God. God, the creator, gave us a small part of himself, herself, whatever, you know, and that is so valuable. And so my motto is, you know, saving one soul at a time. And, you know, Mother Teresa of Calcutta, who passed away, obviously, and I was like, "Hey, Saint," you know, someone had asked her, said, "You know, oh my God, Mother Teresa, I can't save them all." She just said, "Well, then just save one. If you can just save one." So my motto is save one soul at a time. When I became a priest, I asked God, "Well, I'll be a priest and I'll change and I'll do not that transformation. If I can save one soul, I can bring one soul that I saved to the altar of God when I die, that it was worth being a priest. So I'll just say one soul at a time." So because the soul is the most valuable gift that the Creator has given you, because it's something that no one else has. And that was what caused the devil to leave, got kicked out, the jealousy, you know, the envy, you know, obviously, I think even the aliens are all, they're probably, maybe they're infatuated with our planet, infatuated with our essence, because, you know, they say, why are these creatures different than the rest of the world? And it's basically, we have something that they may not have. So I'll say this to people, be afraid not to lose that gift. It's a one gift that God has given us, the Creator. Fight for it, protect it, you know, and do all the things that Sister Kia just said. And remember, watch your words, watch whatever you're doing, because you may inadvertently give it away or it gets stolen from you. So that's what I have to say.
All right, you guys, where would you like my audience to find, follow you, find out where you're appearing?
Yeah, well, Facebook, everything's on Facebook. Anything that we're doing, any promotions, any Care Paracons, any interviews that are coming up, will be on our Facebook pages. And we can reach out on our Messenger if anybody has any questions. We do have the YouTube channel that we're just starting to join up on with
Sister Lucy.
Sister Lucy's page. I think it's but we will give you that. I will give you that link, and Amanda, and you can put it at the bottom. People can log on, subscribe, hit the notification, because we're going to put a lot of videos. I'm going to put regular videos. Sister Kia will put a lot of videos. We have a lot of projects that we want to do. So people want to hear some of our more things. If you have any topics you want us to talk about, please add them. But that's where you'll be able to find us: Facebook, Messenger, and on this YouTube channel that we're going to. I'll give to you, Amanda, if you don't mind giving us a shout out and putting it at the bottom.
Absolutely.
Of the video, and you can reach out that way. And please subscribe, because we're going to do a lot of work, and so people can have an opportunity to see a lot more of this, of us talk about these sort of topics that are really out there.
All right. Wonderful. Yeah. I will share all those links, whatever I can do for you and shout out. I'm happy to do. And to close out the episode, maybe we'll start with you first, Archbishop. Do you have any final thoughts or words of wisdom you'd like to leave with everyone?
The world's not fair. It's not going to be fair. And as soon as you realize that, just remember that we're all part of the family of God. So stay safe, take care of each other, and God bless.
All right, Sister.
I usually say to people, don't suck. You know what I mean? Just try and be a better person. You know, like, it makes such a difference in vibrational energies and stuff like that. And it doesn't cost anything to be nice or polite, or, you know, and we've gotten away from a lot of that, like pleasantries and just being able to, you know, hold a door for somebody, or, you know, oh, can I help you with your groceries or whatever. Just, we need to do better as a species. We just need to do better. And right now we kind of suck. So we got some work to do, you know?
Wonderful, you guys. Thank you so much, Sister Kia, Archbishop Plato Angelakis. I really appreciate your time. Thank you for coming on.
Oh, thank you for having us. Really appreciate
you for having us.
I hope you all have enjoyed this final conversation, wrapping up our October lineup of guests. My sincerest gratitude to those who agreed to take time out of their busy, spooky season schedules to join or rejoin me to make this the best Halloween yet for the show. I know this time of year for those of us involved in the paranormal is quite busy, so I thank you guys.
Please find all of the links to follow along with the adventures of Archbishop Plato and Sister Kia below. The direct link to their YouTube is included as well, and it's definitely a must subscribe. Before we close, I just wanted to remind you guys about the upcoming deadline to nominate someone for American Paranormal Magazine's annual Owlie Award. This award will go to someone who has made an outstanding contribution to the field of paranormal research. And if you haven't already voted, don't know who to vote for, take my lead. I've got good taste and a good instinct for these things, so I recommend voting for the host of Fireside Paranormal, Jordan Klein, for this year. He certainly works his butt off to bring you the best paranormal research and new information via his continuous stream of high-caliber guests, experts in the field, and listener stories and experiences. That deadline is midnight on November 1st, and the winner will be announced at 8 p.m. that evening. Send your suggestions for which subject we will be diving into next on Season 5 to ParanormGirlPod@gmail.com or message me on the socials at ParanormGirlPod. Rate and review the show, my good people. It's important. It's kind of like when you say you don't believe in fairies and then the fairy dies. But when you clap exuberantly with enthusiasm, it brings them back to life. Yeah, it's like that when you don't rate the show. Except instead of fairies dying, ceilings fall on computers, and I am so sad about it. So clap by rating and reviewing. That's it. That's all. Thank you for listening, and I can't wait to see you back here. It'll be sooner than you think. But even so, stay safe, keep the nightlight on, and sleep with one eye open.